Health and Human Services Committee for the Minnesota Senate, Wednesday, April 6th. We do have a quorum, and this morning we are going to hear Senator Rosen, Senate File 742. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Good to see you this morning. This is the follow-up hearing on Senate File 742, and it deals with the authorizing 30 additional child and adolescent psych beds for the facility in Maple Grove. And as you remember, this legislation has to be before you because the state needs to authorize any additional hospital beds, and this is for child and adolescent psych beds. So this facility put in 20 beds, and were just completed this last February, but we authorized that in 2010, and now they're asking for additional 30. Some of the questions that came up in the committee last time was about the fiscal note, and I believe the fiscal note should be in your packet. Mr. Chair, is it?
Yes, members, there should be a fiscal note. Looking at it, it doesn't show any cost.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. And actually, there was no fiscal note or zero fiscal note, I should say, a zero on the fiscal note for the 20 beds that were authorized last year, too. But this was requested by Senator Berglund, and so that's why we laid this bill on the table. And I think it clearly shows that it's have no fiscal note on this at all. Again, we've talked about the website, that there is a need for psych beds for children and adolescents out there, and this is a great demand. This is a for-profit hospital, I should say, too, that just to remind you that, you know, that was built all with union labor, I should say that also, and that there. This is a business, and they realize that there is a great need for additional beds out there. Senator Lori did send, hopefully you all received that in your email at your office, the public review, the public interest review information, and he had a question about that last time, too. And there's some significant differences that I would like to point out. That review was given for the Maplewood, and that was for 144 beds, and that was also adults, adolescent, and children. This 30 beds is just for children and adolescents. And I just noticed that Ms. Kavanaugh's here. Welcome. Good morning, Ms. Kavanaugh. Just lost my train of thought. It's good to see you back.
Thank you.
So anyway, I just wanted to address this review there was not a review requested for the 20 beds that they built this last year, and so it's in a very expensive review, and it seems like it's kind of redundant. Obviously, with this website, the information that there are zero beds, except actually one in Prairie Care this morning, as of this morning at 10 o'clock, there's one bed available, but there is a great need for these beds out there. And so with that, I would be open to any questions.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, just to be clear, I'm looking at the fiscal notes, and the Department of Human Services says it's expanding 30 beds, and the Department of Health says it's expanding 20. You're the author. What are you doing?
Senator Rosen.
20 or 30.
Mr. Chair, it's actually 30. There was 20 last that was expanded in February, so I think this is a typo error. But so we are expanding it to 30. Thank you, Senator Higgins.
And members, that's on page 3, I believe, where it says 20. And what I'm understanding is that's a typo and should probably read 30. Is that your
correct
understanding?
Thank you.
It's from committee members. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, this public interest review that you've touched on, apparently tell me if I'm correct, in 2008, according to the bill, there was a review conducted, but it was not with respect to this particular hospital. It was with respect to a different hospital. Maple Grove, maybe?
Senator Rosen?
Mr. Chair and Senator Newman, that's correct. It was actually in Woodbury, a different location than this hospital that we're talking, a different side of the city, different set of circumstances because it did include the adolescent children and adult beds in this review. So that, and also the number of beds in this review was 144. So the location was changed. And if I'm saying this wrong in the back here, somebody can come up and clarify. But the location was changed. They went down to 20 beds. There's still a great shortage of beds out there, and now they're requesting 30 additional beds. But the department did not ask for another review when they switched the site to Maple Grove. And so that's where we stand right now. And it, as I said, it is a for-profit hospital, and they are, you know, they're ready to fill that demand.
Senator Newman?
Just one quick follow-up question. The public interest review is required by statute, and it seems like what's being done here is we're simply bypassing 144.552. There's a lot of information that is contained in that public interest review, and the types of studies that have to be conducted. There's a requirement to come back and report to us, you know, whether or not we've accomplished whatever is purported to be built. It always bothers me when we as legislators enact a statute, and this is a statute that was enacted in 2004, amended in 2006, amended in 2007. We enact these statutes, and then we bypass them. And I'm just curious, why do we not follow the statute that has been enacted and require the public interest review in order to accomplish what you're trying to do here?
Senator Rosen?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dubin, there was a review on a different site, and it's very similar to an environmental impact study. They're very costly. And yes, the bill states that one does not have to be done for this site because the department determined that there is a need. And there still is obviously a need out there, because the beds are full, and we are only up to half. With these additional beds, we'll be up to half of what the MMA and the Department of Human Services says we need to have in the state for child and adolescent psych beds. The national average is 100. With this, we'll be at 50. So are we going around and skirting around? I don't think we are. I think it's the same thing in environmental permitting process. It's redundant, and it's over and over again. This is an 08 report that was 3 years ago. I think that you could say, well, we should do it again. However, it's going to say the same thing again. We already have a shortage of beds. We're shipping these kids off to Thief River Falls, to Fargo, to Duluth, to Rochester, wherever we can find beds, obviously. And so this is a business that wants to take it upon themselves to fill this need, and I think that's worthy enough of saying, okay, a review is not necessary because the need is out there.
So, Senator Rosen, is it correct that your argument essentially is that recently in 2008 there was a study done that was broad enough that it would encompass the concerns that would be raised by your bill, and in the course of that study there was a finding that there was a need for additional beds, and so to go back and request an additional study for your bill would likely result in the same finding? And is it also your point that the department has suggested to you that another review is not needed? Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's exactly right.
Okay.
But there is somebody in the audience that I could bring up to clarify that?
Okay.
I would be more than happy.
Let me get to Senator Laurie and then Senator Higgins. Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it would be beneficial to get the department up here because I don't know, maybe we're reading different reports. I mean, I agree that the February 2008 report was on a different proposal. It was 144-bed adult, adolescent, and child psych hospital, but the finding was quite clear. MDH finds that it is not in the public interest that Prairie St. John built a specialty psychiatric hospital in Woodbury. I mean, that was, you know, I mean, that's the tagline from the 2008 report. You know, there were significant pressures to continue in this, and we, you know, it was winnowed down, it was turned into just children's, and it was brought down to 20 beds. And true that when we did pass it, there wasn't a public interest review for the 20-bed specific program, but we just got that up. I mean, it just opened here, you know, literally weeks ago. And now we're expanding it to more than twice its 20 beds that we just allowed through. We didn't get a public interest review on that one. The only public interest review that we did get said that the 144-bed facility was not necessary. The review cited the 2007 legislature's, you know, mental health reform initiatives that were trying to build our home and community-based network and reduce, you know, additionally reduce the need for hospital beds. I mean, I guess I have to say the current bill in the Senate really dismantles most of that work, but put that aside. You know, we don't have, the department has not said that 20 beds were needed. The department has not said that this the expansion to 50 beds are needed, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, the report that I've read said that the 144 beds was not needed, and I think these are valuable. I don't, I guess there's a statement that they're very costly. I am not sure exactly what the cost is, but I think that before we go building more, you know, large inpatient facilities, we really ought to look at the cost benefit to society of inpatient psychiatric treatment versus, you know, a commitment to home and community-based services. This is a constant struggle that we need to go through. What is the right balance? And I think that, I mean, I personally think that the public interest review is a very, very valuable and important process, even though, yes, I'm sure that it does cost some money, but I guess I'd like to bring the department forward, the Department of Health, who conducted the study, and have them explain where they're at. I thought that there was some one page, or not a full-blown study, some additional document about the 20-bed facility, but I don't have that at my fingertips. There was not that. I don't know. Maybe the Department of Health could come up and testify.
Okay. Yes, we'll bring the department if they're here up in a minute, but I do want to, if you want to respond, or Senator Higgins also had a question, but Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Lurie. And you touched on several things that need to be addressed, and one of them is that we are comparing really apples and oranges, whether it's the review in Woodbury to this Maple Grove site, and this is, like I said, this is completely different. This is a business that wants to expand for a service out there that's completely different than the community-based programs that are out there. They serve the needs of these children and adolescents differently than what the community-based services are. So it's really not fair to say we need to expand more community-based, because you're dealing with a different patient, a client here, that needs more intensive services than that are going to be received at the community-based. So I think to say, well, we need more community-based is one thing, but you also have these children that are having to be transported to get their services, need to have this intensive 24-hour extended period of time on these children, and that's where these 30 extra beds would come into play. And I don't know if I mentioned, but the cost of the review is around, I believe, $25,000. I should get that. But again, it's a redundant review process that we put on businesses that, frankly, if somebody wants to expand in a hospital to serve these patients, I am not quite sure why we're saying we can't serve these children. To me, it just seems odd that if there's a parent that wants to put them into a 24-hour care, we should be able to allow them to do that and have and go visit them and not have to transport them to Duluth to rent a hotel, take time off of work over and over again. So we do have an apples and orange conversation here. And I also have Dr. Oberstar from the care center that can maybe address a little of this review, the need for these beds. And I'm not sure if somebody from the department's here or not. So,
before we do that, I do want to get a couple more. Senator Higgins, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Rosen, let me tell you specifically what my concern is regarding the study. We're looking at a fiscal note that says this is not going to cost us anything. And the fiscal note is based on the assumptions that the individuals who are served with this expansion would have otherwise received the services. In other words, the fiscal note is based on a specific assumption. One of the reasons for the public review is to determine whether the new beds will provide services to non-paying or low-income patients. And so, you know, I'm simply questioning, the proposal is being put forward as a private enterprise, and I appreciate all of that, and I am in favor of private enterprise, believe me. But we are looking at a fiscal note that is making certain assumptions that are covered by the review that has not occurred, and that's my specific concern.
Senator Hoffman, did you want to ask a question, or did you want to hear testimony?
I'm going to wait for the testimony. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
All right, and sure. Senator Lurie, did you want to question now before the testimony?
Well, just on this, I mean, I think we're dealing with apples, oranges, and bananas, and we should, apples and oranges are the 144-bed review, and the 20-bed existing facility and the 50-bed proposed facility. Those are apples and oranges. And, yes, the bananas would be the home and community-based services, but to the extent that we build home and community-based services, that is one of the aspects that the Department of Health looks into carefully and includes as part of their public interest review. And so to the apples and oranges piece, we should be asking, apples to apples. We should ask for a public interest review on the proposal to build a 50-bed site. We do not have that, and Senator Newman is exactly right about that. All we have is a public interest review on the 144-bed site, and that determination was pretty clear that construction of it was not in the public interest. We don't have anything on the record that says that even, to the best of my knowledge, that even the 20-bed is in the public interest, let alone the 50-bed and the 20-bed. I mean, it just opened. I mean, I think we should take the time. And $25,000, yes, it is, a significant amount of money. But, as we determine what the right direction for the care of people with mental health needs in the state of Minnesota is into the future, I think that's pretty reasonable expenditure to get really valuable advice. So anyway, that's just a comment.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, and on that, I don't think a for-profit hospital would make the expense and build something unless they knew they were going to be, that the beds were going to be full. And obviously, they are full. They're full continually. So I believe that this is a business that knows the industry. And like I said, the MMA and the Minnesota Psych Association, they have stated that to care for our needs in the state, we need at least 100 child and adolescent beds to fill those needs. And we're up to just 50 with this proposal. So I am confident that this hospital would not be putting these beds in unless they knew for sure that they would be full and they would be serving these children, kids.
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Rosen, your last statement just bothered me. You were talking about because this is a for-profit hospital, it wouldn't make a bad decision. And what follows down that line of thinking
I'm afraid, is an assumption that public hospitals do make bad decisions, and they might, you know, come in and ask for 20, 30, 50 beds, and it might be a bad business decision, but they would go forward anyway. But because this is a public or a private hospital, it would never do that. And that bothers me. Those public hospitals are ours. And the advocacy on behalf of a business that's a hospital, I think it shouldn't be done in a way that denigrates our public hospitals.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Higgins. I did not mean to come off that way. Maybe you can't hear me. But I was addressing the needs of the beds, and that's kind of where I came off, that this hospital has chosen to expand in the psych area instead of cancer or heart transplant or something like that. This is the area that they've chose to, because there is a need out there for this. And you do have the community-based programs, which do fill a very important need. But I also feel those are full, too. And this is an area that needs to be addressed. And they've chosen to make this investment in this area, which I applaud them for doing. And I did not want to come across to say anything different between the public and the private hospitals, and people make bad choices. But I was addressing the fact that those beds are of great concern and great need out there.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Rosen, I didn't take that you were denigrating public hospitals at all, so just I want to get on record saying that. And I'm going to ask my questions now, and I apologize for being late. I had some constituent things I had to deal with. Can I ask, have we answered this question already? How many kids are we currently shipping out of this area out to other psych hospitals? I mean, if we're seeing a need here, do we have those numbers? Do you know?
Senator Rosen, do we?
Mr. Chair, it is in the public interest review. I think probably more so telling would be the website.
Okay.
It shows that there are zero beds continually available.
Okay.
But I do not have that information. I'm sorry.
Senator Hoffman.
And I'm going to speak sort of what happens in the practice that I'm involved in. I've worked in three different hospitals, and I want to tell you what happens when we get these kids that need inpatient psychiatric care in just a general-purpose small community hospital. They go on a three-day hold. They go on a suicide watch. And we're not treating them. We're just keeping them safe for 3 days until they can figure out the disposition of these kids and we can find a place to put them. Their parents, the community-based services, aren't able to manage them. And so we are putting them in a place where they're safe, where they have 24-hour observation. And we have them what's called suicide watch. And that, there's a lot of things that go into that. And it is actually, it's a frightening experience for the staff because we're not equipped to handle those crisis interventions. In my small hospitals, we don't have psychiatrists on staff. I mean, our doctors are on the phone to psychiatrists to figure out where we're going to put these kids to keep them safe. Their parents are in crisis. The kids are in crisis. The staff is uncomfortable. And so when we're talking about putting a kid out back into the community that needs to be on suicide watch, that is a dangerous situation. And then I want to speak about my own personal situation with my niece, who required inpatient psychiatric care. And my brother and sister-in-law had to travel almost 3 hours one way to go to all of her counseling, all the things that she had to do. Now, this was in Colorado, but they had two kids at home. I actually had to fly out there and stay with those two kids during that crisis time to help the family get through that. Just the expense of it and just the stress of having a child that needs inpatient care. So I'm a little unclear why we are sitting in a state that has a private industry that has looked at everything and is saying, well, no, you can't do this. So I'm a little unclear why we're debating this today. And not to mention, I want to speak to what it is to work with doctors and healthcare people and hospital administrators. The last thing people in my business want to do is put people in the hospital. It's costly. It's a hard thing for everyone to do. We know that the best, cheapest care is out in the community. I trust the people that I've worked with I honestly have worked in three different hospitals, and there's maybe 0.1% of people that I maybe don't trust because they're in it for the wrong reasons. Doctors, nurses, hospital administrators, we're in this for the right reason. And so when doctors are coming to us and saying, we've got a need out there, folks, I firmly support this. I thank you, Senator Rosen. Thank you for this. I mean, these kids are in crisis, so that's what I have to say. And the only other thing is, this is a question. Does this facility want any state dollars to expand?
Senator Rosen?
Mr. Chair and Senator Hoffman, no.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman, for, I probably came off a little too brisk as saying it's a business. It is a private industry, and that's, thank you for clarifying that, yes.
Senator Laurie, did you have a question or did you want to hear more testimony? Or both?
Well, I mean, they're questions. It's a discussion.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and I think these are really important, and I'm not trying to be, you know, a pain in the rear. I mean, I care deeply about the mental health needs of our kids and our communities. And you know, I wanted to go back to the statement that, you know, the private hospital wouldn't do this if they couldn't fill the beds. And I get that. And I know that's true. You know, if we build these beds, you better believe they'll be full. If we built 250 beds, they'd be full. If we built 1,000 beds, they'd be full. That's not the question that's before us. The question before us is whether we should build the beds. You know, I mean, I went on a tour of Milledgeville, Georgia, okay? And this was the largest psychiatric institution in the United States. I believe they had a population of 12,000 clients back in the day when that was the direction that we took as a country. And the degradation of human rights and the... you can feel it in your bones, in the halls of this institution. I've been to our state institutions in Minnesota and taken the tours. There was one in my backyard as I grew up in Moose Lake. And so it's not, can we fill these beds? Absolutely, we'll fill these beds. If we build inpatient beds, you better believe people with mental health needs will be sent to inpatient facilities. They will. That's kind of the nature of the dynamic we have here. The question is, should we build these beds? Should we invest as a society? And I get that it's private, but should we be investing in an inpatient setting? Or should we really make our best efforts to build up a home and community-based services? And I come from, you know, a particular background. I have these experiences, and this is where I'm coming from. And I'm not trying to, you know, attribute any bad motives on anybody. I mean, I know everybody here also cares about the mental health needs of our kids and our communities. But the question before us is, should we be building these beds? And I think that the public interest review that the Department of Health does is a very valuable exercise that we should go through before building additional inpatient capacity.
Senator Rosen, I'll let you comment, but I do want to hear some testimony from the department and I guess whoever else is here to present. But did you have a comment at this point?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to ask Dr. Oberstar to respond, I think, to that question. And thank you, Senator Laurie, but I think he could address that should we be expanding.
And welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Joel Oberstar. I'm a board-certified child and adolescent psychiatrist. I'm on faculty at University of Minnesota as assistant professor of psychiatry on the full-time faculty. And as a part of a new collaborative relationship between University of Minnesota physicians and Prairie Care, I serve as Prairie Care's chief medical officer, and I'm here to speak in that capacity, not on behalf of the university. And I have difficulty speaking to the financial aspects of things. I'm mostly here, I think, to speak on in my capacity as a psychiatrist and as a physician working with young people who are in need. And I think the issues being raised before this committee are legitimate issues of how do you determine when there's a need. And speaking as someone who makes these decisions every day about whether or not a patient's illness has progressed to such a degree that that the appropriate level of care is an inpatient hospital stay, it's not an easy decision to make. And any time we can manage a child in the community, I try to do that. I would much rather have the child at their home attending outpatient care or a partial hospital program as opposed to being in the hospital if that's appropriate. But what I would say is that it is a daily occurrence at our hospital that we get telephone calls from local emergency departments describing the situation that Senator Hoffman described. Child's in the emergency department, acutely suicidal, acutely ill, and the emergency room doctor says this patient needs to be in the hospital psychiatrically, and there are no beds, or the beds that are available 200 miles away. And so many times the hospital does make a difficult choice. They put them on a pediatric unit, on a one-to-one, where they really are not able to get care because the providers there are used to treating pneumonia and asthma, diabetic work, and they're just trying to maintain safety. And again, I can't speak to the financial aspects of things, but I got to imagine that's a huge waste of money, that there's a kid sitting on a pediatric unit for 3 days waiting for a bed at a facility that can actually provide care to them. And I don't know that I would say that if we had 1,000 more beds, we'd fill 1,000 beds. That's not my practice style. My practice style involves looking at the patient and the family and making a decision about what is appropriate for them. And most of my patients aren't in the hospital. Most of my outpatients are in the outpatient setting. And I think that, you know, the data that we've looked at is pretty clear that relative to the national average, we're well below the national average in the number of beds available. And relative to a neighboring state, we're well above in terms of the rate of suicide. You know, suicide is the number two killer in the state of young people. It's not cancer. When people talk about cancer, that's number three. So I guess just to that point, I understand that there's a dynamic. Most of my colleagues would agree there are not enough child psychiatrists, there are not enough child therapists, there are not enough day programs, there's not enough inpatient beds, there's not enough community resources. I think they all need to be expanded. And Prairie Care in the last couple of years has been one of the few in the area that has been expanding. And we do have day programs, and they frequently are full. So I'm happy to answer other questions if you have them.
And members, I would like to hear from, if there's someone from the department, this discussion about the study, if there's someone from the department here who could help us with that.
Mr. Chair,
could you bring the microphone close and then make sure that we are catching it on record here?
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Stefan Gildemeister. I'm Assistant Director in the Health Economics Program at the Department of Health, and it's our program that typically conducts the public interest reviews.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to answer your questions.
Your questions about the analysis that was done previously and was not done in this case, is that something that you're conversant with, that issue?
Yes, sir, I am. So perhaps as background, I should say Minnesota has, since 1984, had a law that prohibited hospitals from expanding hospital bed capacity, inpatient licensed beds. And the legislature at various points has chosen then to allow exceptions to that hospital bed moratorium. Beginning in 2004, as Senator Rosen mentioned, the law was changed directing the department to provide independent analysis on projects so that the legislature had a set of facts to make its decision on. I should clarify that our public interest review, when it is conducted, provides a recommendation to the legislature. The legislature retains the authority to then grant or deny an exception independent of our recommendations. So I think many of the issues were correctly stated, that we conducted a public interest review on a project in 2007 that involved a proposal to build a hospital in Woodbury, Minnesota, with about 144 beds, and it reached beyond serving children and adolescents. And in that review that we submitted to the legislature in January of 2008, we came to the conclusion, for a number of reasons, that the hospital was not in the public interest. The applicant then continued to work with the legislature and designed an exception for the 20 beds that currently is established in Maple Grove that would serve only children and adolescents. There were questions as to whether we had conducted a review or whether we have a perspective on it. And honestly, we have not conducted a review. Typically, the process imagined by the statute requires the applicant to submit an application to the department for a public interest review. That was not conducted, but the legislature worked with Prairie Care to craft an exception that finally was passed. And maybe I should stop there and let you ask further questions.
Well, let me ask about, in the case of the bill that's before us and the request that's before us for an exception, is this something that you have had input in or worked with the hospital with, or just what is the department's position on the current request?
Mr. Chair, Senators, we don't have a full set of facts about the proposal. The population that would be served, the mix of services that would be provided. So we have not formally reviewed even a set of draft aspects of a proposal. We've communicated twice with representatives of Prairie Care and with Prairie Care to sort of clarify our read of the statute, which in one case said we cannot grant we're in no position to grant an exception or to modify an existing exception. So the question as to, well, 20 beds were granted as an exception in 2009 10. Could that be expanded to 50 beds? It's not the department's authority to grant that change. It's the legislature, obviously, that changes law. And secondly, we also clarified that that the commissioner does not have the authority either to formally excuse an applicant from a public interest review. Again, there is precedent that the legislature chose to pass an exception without a public interest review, but it is not in the agency's. The agency doesn't have the authority to do that.
Is this a public interest review? Is this conducted regardless of whether the facility is a nonprofit or for-profit organization? Is that irrelevant for purposes of the review?
Mr. Chair, that's my understanding. Yes,
Senator Laurie.
Mr. Chair. And so my understanding of the process then is that a facility wishing to get an exception to the moratorium would start by asking the Department of Health for an exception, a public interest review, for advice about the proposed expansion. Is that correct?
Please.
Mr. Chair, Senator Laurie, that's been the practice in the past, that an applicant would approach the department with a plan for the department to review.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Laurie.
And in this particular proposed expansion, Prairie Care did not approach the department and even begin the process of having this public interest review conducted for the expansion, the current proposed expansion to 50 beds?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lurie, as I mentioned, they've asked us to clarify our perspective on the law, and we have. But we have they have to my knowledge, they have not submitted a plan for us to review. And I think, you know, as was discussed, it was because there was a sense that that might not be necessary.
Okay. Is there, Dr. Oberstar, you describe yourself as chief medical officer, and I appreciate your sort of clinical approach to trying to assess a need here. Is there someone from the organization that could speak to the this process that we're discussing right now? Is there someone from... Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is John Ryan. I'm the general counsel for Prairie Care. I'm the one that wrote the initial public interest review application that was submitted to the Department of Health in 2007. And it is Prairie Care's position that the public interest review that was conducted in 2007-2008 encompassed actually more beds for children and adolescents in the metro than we currently propose. That initial proposal for up to 144 beds planned an initial 96 beds be built, of which 66 were going to be for children and adolescents, and the remainder was to be for adults. So I believe that's 30 beds. I believe that that's what the breakdown was. But essentially, it's our position that we've already proposed this amount of beds to be built in the metro. The public interest review that was conducted by the Department of Health was a statewide review of mental health utilization. And so we don't believe that moving the location or reducing the bed number down to 50 it really triggers a need for another $25,000 payment, 90-day review process. And that $25,000 payment doesn't take into account our costs in preparing the application, in responding to public comment, in lobbying at the legislature. Again, I would just take a shot in the dark and say that could be $100,000 to $200,000 worth of added costs in terms of building the facility if we were to go through that process again, which is again part of the reason why we've chosen to say this. This has really been addressed by the 2007-2008 review that was done.
And Mr. Ryan, and Senator Lurie has mentioned, and he's read from that review, that suggests that that review was, the findings of the review suggested that an expansion was not warranted. I'm a little unclear of if that is the, or are you disputing that characterization of the report, but if that is the case, then what is the rationale to say that this would be warranted under that review?
Mr. Chair, it was the position of the Department of Health that the 144-bed proposal was not in the public interest. It is true that a lesser amount was not considered, but there was I believe, a small finding of need potentially in the central Minnesota area is what I remember from that that public interest review being conducted and the testimony that the Department of Health gave during those days. It's our position that the methodology used to determine if there was a need for more beds was somewhat flawed, and it was based on in part, as Senator Lurie spoke about the mental health community-based alternatives funding, which we found would alleviate the bed need by about 10% through our own analysis, and was doubtful whether it would be funded and continue to be funded, which, as it turns out, it's likely to not be continue to be fully funded. In addition to that, we've also heard rumors, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that DHS may be closing a 16-bed child and adolescent facility in Willmar. That right there accounts for half of the beds that we would be expanding. It would just be a one-for-one replacement, and then the additional 14 beds, again, it's just to add capacity so that emergency rooms in the metro have room to breathe and have an appropriate place to refer a child who is unsafe to be to have access to things like paper clips and knives and scissors and other things that would be in the home.
And Mr. Ryan, I'm going to ask you now. I also want to ask the department quickly, and then we'll open it up for some questions from the committee. In your view, what is the risk to the public in authorizing this exception?
Mr. Chair, in my view, you know, the risk to the public may be that that we have more beds than we need, and Prairie Care suffers as a result of it. You know, we are.
But that would not be a risk to the public. That'd be a risk to your owners, I suppose.
Correct. You know, the jobs that we've already created, you know, the jobs that we would create by adding more capacity than we would need could potentially go away. But from our point of view, we don't see us as creating a risk to the public.
And from the department's perspective, if this were to be enacted, is there a risk to the public in the department's view?
Mr. Chair, I hesitate answering the question for the following reasons. The legislature is looking to the department to provide an independent analysis when an application is provided. So you're looking to us at, to approach the subject really in a value-neutral way. So I'm really hesitant to without a full set of facts to even approach the subject and say, well, the effects might be one or the other.
Is there a potential risk then? Let's make it more broad than that.
Well, maybe I can answer your question indirectly by talking about what the legislature, what the statute requires us to study. So we are, in addition to just looking at the question, which has not been answered, as to whether there is a need for hospital beds at the facility that is proposed by the exception, is to study what the impact is on other facilities in the area, what the impact is on charity care and uncompensated care at existing facilities, is to look at the impact on workforce in the area, financially, the impact on other facilities. So these are the things that we would be looking at in addition to other factors that would come up in a review process by not just analyzing data, but by also talking to experts in the field, to mental health experts, because, as you know, we're economists, we're not mental health experts, but as we have done in the past, would talk to the experts in drawing up our analysis, including by obtaining public information from people affected. So that would include both, I would imagine, patients, other facilities, the mental health community. And I should also say, lest it appears that the department in its review in 2007 came to the conclusion that things are great in Minnesota with regard to the mental health system. We have, at that point, we found that patients are not always well served in Minnesota by the mental health system. Our job at the time and with every application is to review the application before us. So what we looked at was the application at the site with the design that was proposed in the public interest? And at that time, we came to the conclusion it was not.
All right. Senator Rosen, did you want to make a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of forgot what I was going to say. It was more what Mr. Ryan was talking about, but you know, there's a lot of talk about streamlining the regulatory process, basically. And we always, at this time, think of it being an environment and agriculture. And never did I think that we were going to have some kind of process like this in Health and Human Services. But this is a perfect example of here you have a private industry that is ready to fill the needs, obviously, that are out there that are great. As I said, the MMA and the Minnesota Psych Association both say we are woefully low on our beds serving these child and adolescent patients. And we are making now this private industry go through this regulatory process, which is going to show us what? That we need more beds, basically. And it is an added expense. It's tremendous. I didn't know about the $100,000 to $200,000 more for just this industry itself. And I know it's our job to make sure that we are doing the best in the interest, but who is the best? Or what is the interest for? It's not, we're not protecting the environment here, we're protecting our children. So I believe these added beds are something that we need to address at some point, and for us to say, no, you need to go and get another review, pay $25,000 to get it, or $120,000, it just seems like redundant to me, and it's heavy-handed.
Okay, I'd like to take questions from the committee. Senator Marty, or Senator Lorie, I guess.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Ryan, does VeriCare, do you not take any MA patients or public patients?
Mr. Ryan?
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, we do take all patients regardless of ability to pay, and we do not turn away patients based on their ability to pay.
And Senator Marty?
Mr. Chairman, so you would be taking MA patients. In other words, when we're trying to look at the big picture of how we're spending state dollars in terms of this, if there is a decision to spend more inpatient versus community-based services and so on, you would be taking some. And presumably, if they build it, they will come, whether as the fiscal note talks about provider-driven or need-based or whatever. We can all speculate about that, but the possibility is that by building this facility, we're going to be spending more MA dollars there.
Mr. Ryan?
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, I find it difficult to answer that question. It's PrairieCare's position that the beds that we're building are going to serve patients closer to their home instead of requiring them to be driven hundreds of miles away to the nearest bed or to board in a scatter bed on a pediatric unit for days until a bed becomes available. So, you know, if I was the one writing the fiscal bill, I would have attached a cost savings to it because you've got less ambulance trips and you've got less of the scatter bed happening before the real treatment actually begins at a specialized unit.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Ryan, I agree if there's a fiscal note, there can be savings from those things. That's why I guess I think the idea of a fiscal note says no impact, which they're saying we haven't looked at this in more detail. I mean, when Senator Rosen, you say this is a private sector decision, it does seem to me there are many potential, and it could be potential savings to the state. I don't know. I'm just saying that's why I kind of like to know. And I'm kind of wondering what I think it would also be helpful if some of the mental health advocacy groups, who I think I saw some of them here, if they'd be willing to comment, because I think I'd like to hear, because the thing that Senator Lorie was quoting earlier, I mean, my recollection, the history of this, I was trying to write it down earlier. I remember there was that 144-bed facility, which Dr. Oberstar, Mr. Ryan, or somebody said had 66 juvenile beds. Then it dropped to a lower-size facility, still in Woodbury. Then it became 20 beds in western half of Hennepin County, and 20 beds in western two-thirds of Hennepin County. Now we're building, that's been built, now we're talking about 50 beds somewhere in Hennepin County. And the only study we had was one saying it wasn't in the public interest. And I guess I'm curious why what the advocates would say to this. And also, I mean, when we've gone through about five or six different morphing of what the thing is going to be, they put 50, and now is it 2 years from now they'll be back for 70 more? And when do we do the study? Because the only study that was out there, it seems to me, concluded it wasn't in the public interest, and I haven't read that in 2-3 years, so I don't remember what all it said, but maybe if we could hear from some mental health groups, it would help. eliminate this too.
Let's. We'll do that. And Senator Laurie, did you have a question?
Well, I did. I mean, it's again maybe more testimony.
Okay.
But Mr. Ryan made a couple of points that I think bear a little flesh. He said that the 2008 review, the review issued in 2008, was substantiated the need for these beds and the kids. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I heard you say that, and I've heard it called a duplicative study several times. I've heard it said that we know that it will demonstrate a need. And these are statements that are not found in the document that I read from the study that was done in 2007 and issued in 2008, and not what I hear coming from the Department of Health. I mean, so I wish we would be clear about not claiming support in a document that doesn't give it. Mr. Ryan also said that one of the deficiencies of the report was that it relied on the 2007 mental health initiative and whether it would continue to be funded, and that there was a projected 10% decrease in the need for inpatient beds based on the investment, and that it appears from the current bills traveling through the legislature that investment is at risk. And I think that just bears a little highlighting. And again, I don't want to put words in your mouth. If I'm misstating anything, please do correct me. But I think that really highlights the point and the issue that's before us. If we cut funding for our home and community-based services, he's absolutely right. We're going to have to build inpatient beds. The question is that the right direction for us to go in providing the appropriate level of care for people with mental health issues? And so, I mean, there's the question, right. And it's a big one.
Right. Senator Hoffman, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. To the department, from who do you take advice when you do the studies? Are you consulting with the Medical Association, the Psychiatric Society? Are you taking any advice from them?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hoffman, we try to use whatever evidence is available to us to come to an objective conclusion on the plan before us. And objective for us means we listen to perspectives from anyone who has to provide. That includes conducting a request for input on the public interest review. So what we do is we publish the application online and issue a Federal Register notice allowing people to comment in writing. In addition, we hold a public hearing where interested individuals, organizations can be represented and provide testimony. In addition, we review the literature both as it applies to Minnesota but also nationally. And then given that that's our expertise, we spend a fair amount of time looking at DHS and MDH data to understand the extent to which patients are served in their home location or are required to travel. So that broadly covers it, but we're very happy to entertain perspectives from anyone with expertise on the topic.
Senator Hawk.
So I'll rephrase my question. Did you take advice from the Medical Association and the Psychiatric Association when you did your review?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hoffman, I don't recall, but I can say this. Our public interest review, if we have received comment from those associations, it would be included at the end of our report where we submitted sort of written comments at the report. Honestly, I don't recall if they chose to approach us or comment on the proposal in Woodbury.
Sarah Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you get me the report or get us the report or the answer to that question?
Most definitely. I actually have it here. I can probably just look it up also.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
And to Senator Marty's response about MA patients, I do want to point out that Prairie Care does take charity care, and next to HCMC, they are one of the highest as far as serving charity care. and I believe they're tied with regions. And there's a new report that's coming out that they're going to be way up at the top, too. So they're doing their part also on this.
Okay. And members, I believe, Senator Hoffman?
I actually did have a couple more questions.
All right,
thank you,
ahead.
Mr. Chair. So this is to the department again. Are we currently spending Medicaid dollars on inpatient adolescent beds?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hoffman, I am not certain of the answer, but because I haven't looked at the issue, but I am I think the department is here. They can probably answer that. But in 2007, when we conducted the study, there were children who were served by Minnesota Public Programs in the data that we studied.
Sarah.
And so, thank you, Mr. Chair. That's the other data that I would like to see from the department, if we could. I think that's an important thing to consider. If we are spending the money now and we're sending them to, let's say, Fargo or Duluth or wherever they're going from the metro, I think that's an important consideration to make. If we're just moving these kids to make it easier for their families to provide the care that they need, I think that's an important consideration here, and I'd like to know that. And also, I have a more of a comment here. When we're making these decisions about what a hospital needs to do, I think we all agree around the table here that mental illness is an illness. And so I look for the clinicians to get my best advice from. If I'm working in a cardiac intensive care unit or in an ER and somebody's having a heart attack, I don't think I can wait for the department to say, well, maybe we should expand the beds in the state. That's an immediate need. And if we're going to treat mental illness as an illness, we're going to have to accept the fact that some people need inpatient care. I've worked in a cardiac intensive care unit, and I'm going to tell you, if that bed wasn't there, those people would be dead now.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hoffman, I couldn't agree with you more. What I would say in the department's defense is our role in this effort is not to put ourselves between clinicians and patients. What we're doing is implement what the statute directs us to do. So I think, you know, I would not. It's not in my position to comment on the merit of the law. But I just wanted to clarify that. I also wanted to make sure that I understood your question correctly. What you were looking for from DHS was for data on children and adolescents as to whether they're hospitalized in their home location, defined reasonably, or had to travel to obtain hospital care. Is that right?
Sarah Alpin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I'm specifically asking if we are currently spending MA dollars on inpatient psychiatric care. And then if we want to filter that down even more, where are we spending those dollars? Are we sending them to North Dakota? Are we keeping them in Minnesota? Are they going to Rochester, Duluth? And, I mean, so you know, actually that's probably a good study for the department to undertake is where are we spending those dollars and where are the children located that need that care?
And before you answer, and is that something that the Department of Human Services, is that your point, should be responsive to?
Mr. Chair and Senator Hoffman, I think we would definitely work with the Department of Human Services to come up with the answer. It might require us to do that research, and you know, I apologize if I may sound like a bureaucrat, but to do this well, it would take a little bit of effort, and I don't know what the timeline is in which you hope to get that data, but we would work as quickly as we can to answer your question.
And members, I do think we want to consider this bill and have a vote before we get to the end of this of our committee hearing. And I believe there are some people from, maybe not, I don't know, do we have other people who wish to testify? And Senator Lurie?
2 seconds. Just a response to Senator Hoffman. I think that is a really good question, one that should be answered and one that should be answered in our public interest review, and that's why we should have one.
Okay. I see Ms. Aberholden there, and I assume you'd like to comment, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sue Aberholden, NAMI, Minnesota. I just wanted to, you know, listening to the discussion, just take an opportunity. You know, everyone's been talking about, you know, apples and oranges, and when you look at the mental health system, it's all in one big fruit basket. It's not like, well, I have private insurance, so I'm going to go to the lens
over
here.
Not sure we should be using fruit baskets and mental health in the same phrase.
Right. There's some things I won't go for, but you know, I mean, seriously, it's all in one basket. And so you have providers in that basket that provide inpatient care, that are private, that are public. You have people that are providing, you know, school-linked mental health services that are nonprofit. You have a whole array of folks, and they all take all the money. They take private insurance, they take Medicaid, they take Minnesota Care. So how we build this basket does impact our public and our private dollars altogether. And I just think that's an important thing to remember. The other thing is that if you, you know, if someone were not to take the public dollars, and as we know, Medicaid rates are generally lower, then you can put another hospital or another provider at risk, because then they have, you know, too much of Medicaid or too many people who are uninsured or underinsured. And so that, you know, we try to keep this all going. Plus, we have a limited pool of professionals as well. So everyone's fighting for those same professionals. And we know we don't have a lot of psychiatrists in Minnesota. I want to caution you about comparing the number of beds in Minnesota versus other states. Some other states actually still have very large children's institutions, which is not something that the families in those states would want you to count in terms of, you know, good quality care. We've also learned that as you develop alternative options and intensive options, such as assertive community treatment for youth, intensive in-home services, that those count the same as a bed would count. So what you're looking for is the intensity of services, not necessarily the location. So you might have a state that has a lot more intensive community services and fewer beds, but you need to add them together to look at if you're meeting the need. I do want to say that, you know, in frankly, in looking at the bill that you passed out of this committee, you made substantial cuts to children's mental health. And, you know, eliminating the school mental health grants will mean that not only will children on medical assistance in Minnesota Care not be able to get those early intervention services in their schools so that they can prevent hospitalization, but private families with private insurance won't be able to pay for it there either. You know, cutting the funds for kids who are most at risk of developing a mental illness for screening, for diagnostic assessments, for early intervention is also going to be problematic. So, in fact, we probably will need these beds because kids are not going to get those services in the community. When we talk about the highest level of intensity, the highest cost, you know, even with heart disease, we want to start earlier. We want people to lower their cholesterol. We want to make sure that people get in for those kinds of things, that they exercise, all of that. We don't want to have to use the high cost. And if we intervene early with kids, you know, if we make sure they get the services that they need, we can prevent a lot of hospitalizations, and we've already seen that with our 2007 mental health initiative. So I just think you have to look at this whole basket and of what we provide. And sometimes our public dollars have actually made other options available that everyone can use, whether they're on private or public insurance. And Minnesota has driven that a great deal by developing crisis services that are now billed to private insurance as well, and that prevent hospitalizations. And so just don't separate out this basket. It's all in one big thing.
Thank you, Ms. Averhold. Can I, with respect to the merit of the proposal that we have here to permit the increase in number of inpatient beds for mental health services, does your organization favor this, oppose it? Do you have a view on the merit of the proposal that's before us?
In the very first proposal, we opposed it. On this one, we have concerns because, again, if that's the only option that we have available, then that is what will have to be used. And that is always a concern. We have not heard in our organization the same kind of what I consider horror stories that we heard 5 years ago, you know, where families were going to Quebec and places like that. You know, for some families, going to South Dakota or North Dakota is actually closer. When we did the listening sessions last fall, the greatest need that we heard from families across the state was actually in northwestern Minnesota in terms of the need for beds. So I think there's, you know, I mean, my child was hospitalized. I know, you know, it's important to have hospitalization available, but I think we also need to look again at the whole basket and make sure that we're not at the same time cutting those very services that could prevent hospitalization.
And that assessment of need that was referred to earlier in 2008, did that find also that there was a need in northwestern Minnesota for consistent with the things that you heard?
Mr. Chairman, I remember a letter that went to the House committee that said it wasn't a full-blown assessment, and
If you saw my office, you'll know I'll never find it. But there was a letter that said that there were about 5 beds that were needed in the St. Cloud area, that if we were looking at kids' beds, that there were about 5 beds needed in the St. Cloud area. That's what I recall.
Okay. Are there other questions from the members of the committee? Other questions? Is there anyone else who wanted to make a comment on the bill in the audience? Senator Lori.
I do have just one nuts and bolts question. I'm wondering exactly where this facility would be built. Is it in addition to the 20 beds? Is it in the same facility? I noticed that line 5.5, we strike the words "the western two-thirds of" and make it available for all of Hennepin County. Where, you know, I mean, if there had been an application to the Department of Health, I'm assuming it would have actually cited this facility, and I'm wondering if you know exactly where it's going to go and why western two-thirds no longer works.
Mr. Chair and Senator, Lori, I believe it is on the same site, same facility, but I'll let Mr. Ryan. Finish that discussion.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lori, it's purely technical in nature. It's going to go on the same site. We were delayed in building because we were about 3,000 feet to the east of the east-west borderline by the Department of Health, and so we figured we'd give ourselves a very large target to build that facility. But it is going to be an addition onto the current 20-bed facility. I don't believe that this passing this gives us permission to build another 50-bed facility someplace else. What I read it to say is that it's allowing our facility to be up to 50 beds because it's already been built there.
Senator Lori.
This would give ability, you know, authorization to build a 30-bed facility somewhere. I mean, if you parse this sentence the way it's standing now, notwithstanding Section 144, a project for the construction is part of it, of a specialty psychiatric hospital in Hennepin County for up to 50 beds. I mean, I think you could build a 30-bed hospital somewhere else. And I just wanted to get clarification if that's what we were talking about. And since, but if we're not, that's, you know.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lori,
clarification.
Yeah, we read that as a project, meaning one single project that's now continuing to be expanded past 20.
Mr. Chair and Senator Lori, would you like to tighten that language up? Would you feel better?
No, it's all right. I mean, I just wanted to get clarification and see if, you know, if we were talking about a different site. I mean, I take you at your word. I'm not, you know.
Okay.
Right. Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity to give this more time for reflection, Senator Rosen. I'm also on this bill and very concerned about the lack of children's mental health services across the whole system, including access to providers. So I'm inclined to support this today, but I'm going to tell you all the reasons why I shouldn't, why I'm going against just my best judgment when I vote for this. First of all, we're going on anecdotal stories as to the need, and it fails to meet, I think, a principle that we shouldn't violate, which is to ask for an analysis, not only from the Minnesota Medical Association, which I think clearly should have an input in other providers, but clinical providers, but also other institutions that provide beds, to determine what the addition of those beds will, what kind of a competition will be created then for that, and how that drives the cost of health care to the state of Minnesota through the programs that we pay for. Because unlike other businesses, I've seen this in Mayo Health System, which I represent, that the increase of resources and competition drives up costs because everybody has to pay for these expensive systems. And we need that as a part of the analysis to understand that we aren't doing this process that we've said is a cost driver, which is expanding facilities and MRIs and all of this expensive equipment, then everybody has to pay for it. And we're missing the opportunity to really look at this again when we don't go through the process that we've established to make sure that we are making solid, reasonable financial and not just basing it on anecdotal stories of our personal experiences, of which all of us can give examples. I'm also concerned that the fiscal note really doesn't address any of those issues of utilization of public dollars to pay for patients who may or may not use this system. I also am concerned and what really makes it hard for me to vote for it is that I'm voting for this when I'm confronted with a budget that cuts so much out of the community-based mental health services for children. So I'm struggling, Senator Rosen, in a number of places, not just this one, with the actions in the budgetary process that undermine the long-term strategic planning process for mental health services, comprehensive, whole basket comprehensive mental health services in this state. We have gutted a huge portion of it in the budget, and then on anecdotal stories are willing to expand beds in the highest level of service in the mental health system, irregardless of what we're doing to the overall plan for how to deal with mental health services, not only for children but for adults. So I'm just laying that out, that I think that this conversation is important, but I'm not dismissing the challenges that are here, that it's not about concern for or lack of concern for mental health services, Senator. It's that it is at the highest end. It's anecdotal stories that we're relying on. There will be a public cost because public patients will use this service. And if not, they'll be tying up other children's mental health beds in other places. And we haven't got a good analysis of that. And when we start asking for questions, as Senator Hoffman has, for the department to answer, those are the questions that are answered in a review process. And just the fact that we would like some of that information demonstrates that we want that kind of answers as a basis for decision making. And I think that's legitimate. I think Senator Hoffman's questions are legitimate. They should be provided as a basis for decision making, and we don't have them. So that's the difficulty. At the same time that I really want to expand children's mental health services, increase the number of psychiatrists that we have, advanced practice nurses that focus specifically in children's mental health. We have a glut in the whole system, and this is a piece of it. Its problem, Senator Rosen, is that it's taken out of context of the whole, and it is being requested in an environment that has cut significantly children's mental health services in the community. And that's my question.
All right. I don't know if I'll ask you to answer that or not, Senator Rosen, but are there other comments or questions from the committee? Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, I think that Ms. Abderhold and Senator Sharon's comments about the other cuts in the community services are a big concern, and I think it rightly or wrongly, it lends to the need for these beds, but I think we should keep that in mind. I am I think this has been a good discussion, and I'm not, I kind of think this is probably more likely than not needed at this time. But I am really troubled by the exclusion of the study and wanted to move to delete the notwithstanding section 144.552 and the last three lines of the bill. In other words, I think the expansion is probably appropriate, but I do think that this study, again, all I had was the summary today. I haven't looked at the original study for 2-3 years, but again, at that point, I mean, when the Prairie Care came to us a couple of years ago and said, look, you know, we're not asking for 144 beds, we're not asking for 66 beds, we're asking for 20 beds, I think a lot of us felt that that was clearly likely to be needed, and we're willing to go around this process in place, but I just think now, well, we're getting back up to what the numbers that the department said at the time was not in the public interest. And so I would like to move to still require the study. I think Senator Hoffman's point is right. It may save us money. It may save us from shipping people, kids, by ambulance all over the state. It may save us things in other ways. It may cost us more. And I think that study is appropriate, so I'd like to make that motion.
All right. Senator Marty moves to strike the language notwithstanding section 144.552 on lines 5.4, and then the last three lines of that paragraph, lines 5.7 to 5.9. And before we act on that, and perhaps counsel can give us some advice as well, but I'm reading the construction of the language of this clause, and I want to make sure I understand, Senator Marty, is your intent that this project would then be it would be necessary for it to go through that review, because if we strike that language and pass the bill, it would, in effect, give them permission to proceed with the project. And I just want to be clear that that's what your intent is, to say, go ahead and proceed with the project, but we're not going to put that language in. Is that
Mr. Chairman, notwithstanding 144.552, that is the review process. And the law, as you see right now, did allow them to construct it despite this language in here. In other words, this language is just kind of, well, we don't think any further public interest review shall be conducted on this. I actually think it should be done, and I recognize that by just removing that, it's not stopping them from going ahead with the project. I just think that review is worth doing, and frankly, regardless of the impact of it, they will be going ahead with it, I'm assuming. But among other things, I just have this great concern that 2 years from now, well, we want 16 more beds. And, well, it's just a small bit more, and so I'd rather have the review done, even if they're going to go ahead with this amount anyway. I frankly think they should put it off a year and do the study, go through the process, but I'm trying to be realistic, and I'm saying let's go ahead with the study, even if they're going ahead with the project.
I want to ask counsel if that's your understanding of what this bill would do if that language were struck.
Mr. Chairman,
Ms. Kavanaugh,
and Senator Marty, do you want the commissioner to do the review or not to do the review?
Mr. Chairman, counsel, I want them to do the review. This language, when taking it out, I'm realizing that it's not stopping Prairie Care from going ahead. I would like the department to do the review.
Then you might want to put language that says that a review shall be conducted, because under 144.552, the entity submits the plan to the commissioner. That's the requirement. The commissioner then does the review and then submits the recommendation to the chairs of the House and the Senate committees that have jurisdiction. There isn't any enforcement of, you know, if the entity does not submit the plan to the commissioner, there isn't anything that says, you know, that they have to or not, you know. So especially if the legislature has already agreed to the exemption.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Marty.
I can see how, I think having dealt with Prairie Care in the past, I think they would respect the intent to do that, but I think you're right. It'd probably be appropriate to, in other words, they're going to be able to go ahead regardless of the results of the study. But I do think it's in our interest, if they want to do this, that they should go through with the study. So perhaps adding on the sentence, the Department of Health shall conduct a public interest review. They'll report to Senator Hahn and his House counterpart and so on. And Prairie Care is obviously, through this legislation, still able to go ahead with their expansion. But I think that review is worth doing.
Just a second. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what the motion is now. You're moving
yes.
to...
I need some language from Senate counsel to add the last sentence. A public interest review under 144.552 shall be conducted.
So, Senator Marty, so let me just make sure I understand. The intent of your amendment is to remove the language that's underlined in the, except for the and expansion on 5.4, but to delete that language and then replace it with some language requiring a review to be conducted, but it is not your intent to delay the project from going forward. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I would actually prefer to delay the project to find out if it's really needed, but I have a feeling the results are Okay. More likely than not that it's going to, and they want to do it, and I'm trying to... I just think that totally ignoring the process we've set in place because of it, I think both Senator Lori and Senator Hoffman's questions are both raising all the doubts that are there, because it may be a very positive thing for us to be doing.
And then just, Ms. Kavanaugh, if that is the intent, is to allow the project to go forward and to strike this language and then add what we're in effect saying is that the bill would permit the project to go forward and a review to be done sort of after the fact. Is that your understanding of what the amendment as
Mr.
he's proposing?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, that would be correct, that you've already agreed
authorized
to authorized the project. You then require a review. The review would make a recommendation that would really
would be
be
after
worthless,
the fact. But
you know,
it would,
at least it would have, okay. You'd have that recommendation.
I want to ask the author of the bill, what's your wish with respect to the amendment? What's your
thank you, Mr. Risk? Chair. And I would oppose this amendment, I think, and this oral amendment to it. I believe this is a very good discussion about this. However, we could go to the bigger discussion is why do we even have the moratorium on hospitals? Why do we have to even have these reviews on something that's so gravely needed? It's not affecting our environment, our air, our water. This is strictly a something to serve these children and adolescents that absolutely need it. And Senator Sharon, I don't believe this is anecdotal stories. When you have the chief medical director is sitting here telling you about stories that are going on out there, I think this is something that we need to address right now. It's above and beyond the added expense that something like this review would be. I am certain that a private industry would not move ahead with this project if the need wasn't out there. And obviously, as the day after day occurrence of zero beds available for these kids, and what are we supposed to do with them? Obviously, there is a need out there, and I would just oppose this amendment.
All right. And I agree with your point that it may be appropriate for the committee to have an informational hearing at some point in the near future about the moratorium process generally, mm-hmm. not necessarily with respect to this project, but more generally to help the committee understand what we're doing, why we're doing, maybe the history, what kinds of questions are asked, and what the construction of that is. But we do have an oral amendment before us, and do members understand what the oral amendment is doing? Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair, I think I'm going to speak against the oral amendment, but suggest that there might be some middle ground somewhere.
Mr. Chairman, could I interrupt Senator Higgins? Because I was planning to withdraw the amendment now. Not because I don't think we should do it, but I just think that, I mean, Senator Rosen, your comments about, yes, there's this need out there. Yeah, there are needs for the community services, too, and we're slashing them and burning them. And I just think that this is the wrong direction. All I wanted to do was to say, let's do a study of it anyway. I understand it's not going to pass right now. I'll simply oppose the bill. I hoped Prairie Care would say we ought to do the study anyway. And when Mr. Ryan says, well, they'll be here at the legislature and all their costs are $200,000, I thought the study was $25,000. Let's just do the little study and figure it out. But I mean, we haven't heard from other hospitals. We haven't heard from anybody else. I think this is the wrong direction. I was trying to do a little thing to say, let's do a little study to help answer some of the questions out there. But I will withdraw the amendment, and we can move on with the bill.
Right. Senator Marty withdraws the amendment. Other
Mr.
questions?
Chair, may I continue what
yes,
I was trying to
Senator
say?
Senator Higgins.
Thank you. What I was going to say was that I think there's middle ground between no review and a full-blown $25,000 public interest review. Because I think we know a lot about the need. I think we know a lot about Prairie Care. And yet, there, as we've heard today, there's information that I think we would all like to have so that we're sure that we're making the best decision when it comes to having an exception to our own, the legislature's, hospital moratorium. And if you and so maybe what we should do is ask, I mean, it's April. We've got a few weeks.
could we ask the department, the hospital, and whoever else wants to be a part of this to get together and try and answer the questions that we've had so far today, hold the bill, get some more information, and then we can have the information that we need to know. I'm kind of shocked about why people are questioning the need to have a hospital moratorium. We're doing that to protect the taxpayers of our state so that we make sure that when our hospitals need to change their size, we're having to go through this questioning process. Is it the right size? Is it in the right location? And if you look through the first several pages of the bill, you can see 24, I guess this would be 24, times we have gone through this process. This would be the 24th time. And it's all to make sure that we're providing health care in the right place and in the right size and at the right cost. So, I kind of feel sorry that Senator Berglund's not here, because I suspect that she could go on for a long time about all the needs of a hospital moratorium. But I just wanted to say that it's here for a reason, and it's for our review. Otherwise, hospitals would be making decisions that may not be in the best public interest. So I'm hoping that maybe there's a place where we can continue to have more discussion and more information gathering through our committee process, and I hope you'll be amenable to that.
All right. Senator Chair.
I just want to respond to something that's really important to me, and that is that I try to always make my decisions on the base of a 360-degree look at a subject matter, and that there's plenty of input into it, and as much of it be science-based as possible, and that there is a difference between that and people telling their personal experiences. Those are anecdotal, and they are not an analysis that's objective and integrates everybody who needs to have input that influences the final recommendation. So I don't want that dismissed, because it's really a critical way in which I make decisions. And I certainly wasn't saying this to suggest that the psychiatrist that was here was not sincere or even inaccurate in his experience. But it is one of a series of input that has to occur for a substantive analysis of something that is driving the cost of health care. Everybody agrees that expanding MRIs and hospital beds and all of these in health care, because you have to raise your customers' prices to pay for it, is a driving factor in the cost of health care. And it is a principle for which we started moratoriums. Whether that's the right way to approach it, I don't know. But there is a solid reason for why we go through this process of analysis. It's to protect the taxpayers, especially in the public and small businesses. Because if it's not paid for by the public programs, it gets shifted over onto those premiums for the small business to pay, or on our individual policies. So I don't want that minimized. It's critically important. It's absent. It's being removed from from this bill as necessary, saying it's not necessary. And I just cannot leave the discussion without raising that clearly, that how are we going to defend in the future that we want a more critical analysis before we make decisions.
Thank you. Other comments? Senator Rosen, did you wish to make a motion?
Thank you, I would. And Mr. Chair and members, and I do appreciate the conversation about this. It wasn't that long ago. We really did not have very good discussions or thorough discussions about mental health. So do appreciate this ongoing discussion. I do still feel very strongly about this private industry fulfilling a need for our children out there that have some severe issues that need to be addressed, acutely addressed, immediately. And so, again, thank you. I would like to also thank Prairie Care for taking the initiative to expand here. I mean, these are jobs, and this is a private expenditure and a risk that they're taking. They realize that, but they, as a private industry, they understand that this needs to be
addressed. So I would like to thank them for that and absolutely reach a balance in all of these, the community-based programs and this a private venture. So with that, I'd like to move that Senate File 742 be recommended pass and move to the floor. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
On that motion, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, was I just saying blah, 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 all that that I was just saying? Do you not, did you not catch that there's plenty of time for us to gather some more information so that we can make sure that Senator Hoffman's questions are answered, Senator Sharon's questions are answered? I think Prairie Care's got a great story to tell. But let's make sure that everybody's comfortable with the information and that we can work things out in this committee. I'd suggest that you lay it on the table, let us have some more information gathering time, come back, present the information. Everybody will have much more comfort with it, and then we can all go forward and we can all feel really good about this. There's no rush for this bill.
Senator Hoffman.
And I'm a co-author, so, you know, I'm not trying to sandbag your bill. Really, I'm not. But I really did think that there was reason to get the information that people were asking for.
Senator Rose.
On the rush of the bill, Senator Higgins, I do think that there is probably a rush, especially when you have a child that's calling at 3 a.m. in the morning and there are no beds available. That's a rush. And so I am more than happy to look at these ongoing, but I do feel strongly about moving this bill forward and to the floor because there is a need out there. And I just feel that just to put it off for another 30 days, 60, 90 days, whatever we need to do, is not fulfilling the needs of, out here. We're talking about children and young kids. So that's,
Mr. Chair,
I have no desire to put this bill off. But I have a desire to get the information that Senator Hoffman would like to have. I think that moving forward, because we will be addressing, we have children that have severe needs out there, and we need to address these. And right now, we need to get these 30 beds going.
Senator
Higgins. Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, your bill doesn't take effect until August 1st anyway. We've got no effective date on it, so it goes to the default date. Right. So whether we pass it in April or May, it doesn't matter.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to continue to renew my support of this bill. I want to clarify what I asked for from the department, and it shouldn't be that difficult. It shouldn't require a $25,000 study to tell me where our MA dollars are going. Please let me finish, Senator Higgins.
No, I said I agree.
Okay. I think that's something that the department could bring to me or to the committee with little or no work. That should be something that should be some keystrokes. But I want to speak to something larger here, which is one of the reasons why I think now that we've got a new majority in this Capitol building, I, for the life of me, do not understand why this legislature has continued to feel that they have to insert themselves into every private business decision that's being made in this state. This is a perfect example of why we're in where we're at now, and I'm going to continue to support this bill, and I hope that we pass it and move it to the floor.
And members, we do have a motion before us to recommend that Senate File 742 be passed and referred to general orders.
Yes, sir.
On the floor. And Senator Higgins and Senator Hoffman and others, we've had a little discussion about generally the moratorium, and I think that the point Senator Hoffman is raising might be helpful for the committee to have an opportunity to review the moratorium issue generally, just so that everybody understands what we're doing and why it was done, and perhaps to ask whether it's serving the purpose that we all hope it to serve. So, Senator Rosen renews her motion. Other questions, other comments?
Mr. Chair, can I request a roll call, please?
Roll call has been requested. Clerk will take the roll.
Hand.
Yes.
Benson.
Yes.
Berglund. Fischbach.
Yes.
Hall.
Yes.
Higgins.
No.
Hoffman.
Yes.
Lori.
No.
Marty.
No.
Newman.
Yes.
Nino.
Yes.
Rosen.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Vote being 9 yes, 3 no, the bill is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Rosen.
Thank you,
members, for a thoughtful discussion. We are adjourned.